I'm delighted to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Lori Paras. She's Executive Director of the Santa Fe Raptor Center. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again.
So, raptors, and you have at your center not only raptors, I mean, yeah, birds of prey, hawks, owls, eagles, falcons. You also have waterfowl, you have songbirds, basically any kind of airborne bird
that comes through the state or that either migrates through the state or stays here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will take them. Yeah,
if it's injured.
We've had freshwater pelicans, we've had great blue herons, geese. Mm-hmm. If it's injured or orphaned, and the goal is, of course, to always try to get it back out there.
And so the idea of the Raptor Center is you take in orphaned and injured animals, you rescue them, you rehabilitate them, and you release them back into the wild.
Yes, and they never send postcards.
Do they ever come back? I ask this because I recently, a friend of mine told me a story, which was that he's from he grew up in New Mexico, and when he was a kid, they found a hawk with a broken wing.
Mm-hmm.
They took it home and rehabilitated it. It took like 6 months or a year, I think. It was a long time. Then they let it go, and it would follow him to school every day and then like fly him to school, just go tree to tree, and then fly him back home at the end of the school day.
I love it. Better than a pet dog, right? No leash.
And it did that for a few months, and then it went back off into the world. But do these animals ever sort of come back and say hi, Lori?
No, we've had... When we had the center in El Dorado, I had a turkey vulture. I'm guessing it was a turkey vulture I released in the yard because they come back to the same area. And he would swoop through, and sometimes he'd land in the yard, and I think he was looking at me thinking, hey, don't I get a mouse? Don't I get a rat too? But would he stick around? No.
Yeah.
And I released a red tail in March, and he hung around on a telephone pole. Once in a while, he'd swoop by. He's gone now.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful area, and he was probably thinking, you know, sometimes they'll hang around and decide where they're going.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So tell us about each stage. Rescue, rehabilitation, and release. Rescue happens, basically, people bring you injured birds, baby birds, orphan birds.
Correct. Or, yeah, injured, exactly, you got it.
And they just, like, call you up and say, I got a bird.
I get calls from all over the state. And I work with a vet down south because she does not have... The Santa Fe Raptor Center has done something that I feel is really important and that Dr. Ramsey has always stressed, and that is to have foster parents for babies. Because you don't want them to be a person, you want them to be a bird. And if they're seeing only me and I'm moving in and out and I'm feeding them and I'm changing water and I'm cleaning things... They become too friendly, and you don't want that.
So foster parents meaning other birds.
Yes. So our educational birds that are non-releasable do two jobs. They go out into the world and teach people about them, their species, and they also foster parent babies of their own species.
And so you have to both kind of feed them and make sure that the injuries are taken care of, and at the same time, kind of stay away from them, and no matter how cute they are, not bond with them.
Yes, it's a funny job. You're in and out, and for instance, I have Swainson's hawk babies, five of them, that are in with my red-tailed hawk. Those are species you can actually mix together. That's very unusual. You can't do that a lot, but you can do that with those two species. And she is sitting up on her perch looking down at them, and they're looking up at her going, oh, so they're seeing her all day long. They see me intermittently here and there to feed them. And hopefully, you know, the sounds she makes being out there, looking at her, watching her do whatever she does, they look at that instead of me and say, this is what I am.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And as we learned in high school biology class with chickens imprint on the first thing they see.
Yes.
And I'm sure that's probably true with all birds.
The more they spend with you, they can become imprinted or habituated, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially young ones.
So the rehabilitation is this kind of complicated and delicate process.
Yes, and I appreciate that you see that. It is a complicated and delicate process, especially baby raptors can fall on the ground and get pneumonia within a half an hour.
Oh, my goodness.
Hypothermia is big because they get cold. They're alone. You know, they have this fluff and this feather, but they're all grouped together. My baby barn owls, I only have 12. Getting another one tomorrow. Only 12 baby barn owls. And when I got, they were six and six. They came in separate times also. The six babies moved as if it was one body with six heads. because somehow they were safe and they stayed warm. They hide each other by moving. So if one moves, they all go together. It was pretty interesting. It's like one organism with six heads. You know, kind of like a Los Alamos experiment. And then they get big enough and they start to fly and they sort of separate out a little bit. But their safety is in sticking together and their warmth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what do you feed them?
You cut up rats and mice. You skin them if they're really small. You make sure they have, you tube them sometimes liquids. You make sure they have enough of all that. And, you know, again, you're doing, it's a dance because you're, a delicate dance because you're in there wanting to make sure everybody's okay. They're gaining weight. They're all eating. They're alert. They're spitting out pellets. They're, you know, they're all that stuff. But you don't want to spend too much time.
Right.
So you get in and get out and try to do what you need to do.
And so you have to have an endless supply of rats. And
it's the, you know, people romanticize what I do. My hands, to be very honest, are in mouse guts all day long.
Oh,
I actually wash, I should have no skin on my hands. I wash them, I spray my hands with vinegar or lemon to get the smell off and then wash them again. This is only 5 or 6 times a day.
Yeah, it's a very romantic work rehabilitating these magnificent birds of prey. So then when, I mean, you have to evaluate when it's time for them to be released. And I would imagine you're working with veterinarians and maybe even specialists in each species?
Not necessarily, because, you know, I am very blessed to have Dr. Ramsey as a teacher. And you're
the great veterinarian,
yeah,
Dr. Catherine
great,
Ramsey.
Wildlife veterinarian of the state and maybe the Southwest. Anyways, I am watching them. First of all, they have to, like, the baby Swainson's hawks are all different sizes. They came together, but they're all different sizes. So some of them are so clumsy, they look like they're on stilts with those long, skinny legs. And so they're doing this thing where they flap. The ones that have wing feathers are flapping them because they're building up muscle and strength, and they're sort of walking around. The little guy is still just sort of squatting. So what you want to do is you get them up to where they're all flying. So they first of all have to get feathers to fly. It's a process. And then when they're flying back and forth, you put them in a bigger space, and they build up their muscle. Then you give them live rats. And they catch them, and that's when you can put them out. If there's no injury or anything else going on.
Right. And so then the moment comes where you open a window or open the door to the enclosure. And some of those enclosures used to be down in El Dorado, now you're in El Rito, are really big because there's room for them to fly.
Yes, because I have my great horned owls. I have 10 of them right now, and 6 are babies. 2 are barbed wire incidents. And the babies are now flying beautifully, back and forth. So now it's time to start introducing the rats. They're alive.
When you let them go, what's it like?
It makes me cry. Not because it's sad, because, I don't know, there's something very primal about it. There's something about, it's a very beautiful thing. It's really wonderful to let them go. People say, don't you want to keep them? And it's like, no, you want them to go. You want them to have what they're supposed to have, which is freedom.
Yeah.
And there's always more.
And there's always more. How did they come to you? I mean, what gets these birds injured and orphaned and suddenly at your doorstep?
The Swainson's hawks, the mother was killed. No one knows how. She could have been hit by a car. Who knows what happened, but she didn't come back to the nest, and somebody was watching it because they found 3 babies in their field and saw the nest above. So when they got the nest down, there was an egg in it, and the baby was hatching. He was coming out of the egg.
Oh, my goodness.
They got it to a vet down in Carlsbad, Dr. Sammy Rayro-Urig, a great doctor, also a great vet. And she managed to keep the little egg after he came out. She managed to keep him alive.
So, amazing.
Yeah. So then they came. They got him up to me. And so a lot of times it's people talk about having barn owls in their hay barn. They don't know it. And they wheel, you know, a thing of hay out to their field, and there's 3 barn owls staring at them.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, whoops. So moving things, trees, people cut down trees, being caught in people's attics, in their barns. A lot of babies, luckily, are not injured, but they're found in that way.
Are some of these species, like, threatened and endangered species?
I don't at this moment have anything threatened and endangered. I do have a juvenile northern harrier, which isn't from this area.
But it's a migrating bird.
He lives down. They're the marsh hawk, they call them. And it's really, if you go to Bosque del Apache, you can see them hunting, which is really nice how they hunt in the fields together.
Yeah. What should people do if they find an injured bird or a baby bird?
Well, a lot of people have been calling, which is great. And a guy called the other day and said there's 2 baby I think it was ravens or crows. They're under a tree. The mom is in the tree. She's screaming at me. We have to do some work on my house. What do we do? And I said, they're fledglings. If she's feeding them and they're jumping around, they're fledglings. And if you wait 3 to 5 days, they'll be gone. And I always tell people, if that doesn't happen or it doesn't look right, call me back. But people don't realize that a baby bird, whether it's a songbird or a large raptor, they become teenagers, they get their wings, they float down out of their nest, which is the beginning of their abilities to fly, and they can't get back up. Yeah. So the parents will feed them on the ground. Even raptors will feed, songbirds feed their babies on the ground, and raptors will actually feed. You'll see a great horned owl sitting out in a field, you know, and mom comes by and throws something at him.
Are they very vulnerable to predators at that stage?
Yes, they are. They are. Dogs and other things, yeah.
Yeah.
Although if a dog was caught in the nose by even a baby raptor of that size, it would be painful.
And your little Yorkshire Terrier might or might not be too happy.
Right.
Now, but, okay, so that's a case where the birds will take care of themselves. It's a fledgling. Somebody calls you and you say, just do nothing, keep an eye on it, and they'll be fine.
Right.
But, like, let's say somebody finds an injured bird on the road.
Yes, we get a lot of those, too.
And so what do they, like, let's say I'm driving along and mm-hmm. I see an injured bird on the side of the road and it's got a broken wing. What do I do?
Well, if people, I always ask, did you already pick it up? And then I never ask how they did it and how it worked because, you know, the feet are pretty dangerous. So when someone picks a bird up, I have in a box and it's a hawk, I think, oh, good for you. We're not going to discuss that part of it. But if you have welder's gloves, you know, the leather gloves and a towel, you can just throw it over the bird and scoop it up and put it in a box.
Yeah.
That's the best way to do it.
Okay.
And they'll take them to vet offices. They'll take them to different, you know, because that's what you would do.
Right.
And then I'll have a veterinarian call me and say, come and get this bird.
And if you're too scared to pick it up and you don't happen to have welder's gloves in a box in your car, maybe people can make phone calls.
Right. Or depending on it, I have gone all the way to halfway to Albuquerque to get a red tail that someone had seen. And when I got there, there were two police officers and somebody, and they were, it was in the median, and I didn't want to jump over on the other side and get killed. And they were struggling with how to catch her because she wasn't being nice.
Yeah.
And I went up and grabbed her. Somehow I was talking to her and got her to lay on her back and go after you with her feet and grabbed her legs. And they went, oh, that's how you do it. I said, I've been doing it for 15 years. Don't feel bad.
Yeah, right. Now, is there a science component to what you're doing? Are there people studying the birds that you're rehabilitating and releasing?
There are. Yes and no. To the degree of, we have a man who does some banding, and he will band falcons, and he will band eagles. And that's, you know, it's nice to know because he did band a falcon we had a couple of years ago, and she lived for a couple of years. She was older, so I don't know. You know, she was an adult, so she may have been at the end of her life. And she was found in Arizona. So that was a success because that bird obviously hunted and lived and flew very far.
Yeah. How did you start doing this?
Oh, my gosh. I realized 15 years ago that I loved animals, always loved animals, and probably should be working in some capacity with them.
And, I mean, how did you choose birds of prey? I mean, a lot of people who love animals, they get a dog, or they start doing dog rescue.
They
or
do it simpler.
Like that.
That's right. I went all out. I don't. That's a good question. I don't even know if I know. I mean, I love large mammals and things too, but that's a lot more expensive and bigger caging and
yeah.
You know,
but
so.
You just wonder. I think it's a funny thing. I think there's almost like a, I don't know what it is, like a tribe or brother and sisterhood of people who rescue animals.
Mm-hmm.
Who it's like a deep drive. And they understand each other, and everybody else is like, oh my God, how could you possibly devote your life to that? And we're all very grateful.
Thank you. Yeah, we're interesting characters. Yeah, I work a lot with Hawks Aloft, and so I'll call the person down there and say, can you help me get this bird in? It's down south, and they're great to help. But
is that another organization like yours?
Hawks Aloft is an organization in Albuquerque, yes. They do more education and a couple other things we don't do.
Okay.
They don't do a huge amount of rehab. So they send the birds up to us because, again, we have a great foster parent program. Every baby I have right now has a foster parent.
That's so amazing.
It is. It's very
of the
important.
Same species?
Yeah. Well, except the red tail and the Swainson's hawks, but
okay.
You can mix them.
Yeah.
You can get away with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you were in El Dorado for a long time, and I went out to visit the center, and it was amazing. But now you're in El Rito, New Mexico. Why the move?
The move because in El Dorado, we just could not expand anymore. And, you know, you can only sneak up so many cages before you start feeling bad.
Yeah.
So I had friends in El Rito. It's actually the very first property I moved to 25 years ago in New Mexico. Is that crazy?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's a full circle. I went back. And the center is in a beautiful place. It's out on land that is up against BLM land. So there's all these mountains, and it's very quiet, and it's a really wonderful place for birds to be.
So what is the facility actually like? You've got buildings.
It's big.
I mean, you have to... There's a lot of building that goes into...
There's a lot of building. I'm still surprised that it's up. Because if I look back on when we dumped it there, you know, in truckloads after truckload of 12-foot panels and 8-foot panels, that the cages were made, which was really nice, designed so that they're panels and you bolt them together so you can take them down and put them up. I mean, not easily. A 12-foot panel is heavy. But to see it all together, it's like, oh my gosh, that really did happen.
So... It's the Santa Fe Raptor Center. We're talking to Executive Director Lori Paras, and you are actually having a fundraiser coming up on Thursday?
Yeah, Friday.
On Friday.
The 12th.
Friday the 12th.
June 12th at the rail yard, so there is parking and bathrooms. Always a good thing, right? You got to have those fundamentals if you're going to have fun. And it should be great. We have some bird houses that have been painted by local artists.
Oh.
Yeah, and they're really nice. Oh, they're really, really nice. Everybody did their own thing, and they're just really, really, I was really impressed with what we got. And we're going to have centerpieces that are really beautiful, that are sort of nests and have plants in them that are also people can buy.
Are you going to have any birds?
Yes, I'm sorry. We are going to have birds. We're going to have some of our educational birds that are not foster parenting.
Yeah.
And it should be great fun.
Educational birds basically are birds that would never survive in the wild, and so they become as close to tame as a wild bird can be, and you take them around.
They are willing to be in captivity. They don't seem to panic about it. For instance, my red-tailed hawk, Ruddle, that is babysitting the little Swainson's hawks, she was found in Abiquiú, and she had a broken wing, and it fused funny. It just would not heal right, so she can't fly.
Yeah.
But she does, I have to say this because it's important to me. She seems like she's really okay where she's at.
Yeah.
You don't get the sense, you know, I've been around birds a lot, and you can get a sense when something is not, I guess, happy. And she seems absolutely perfectly fine to be where she's at. And to her muse, her cage is built in such a way that there's logs, and she can move around and jump from one thing to another. So she seems to be very satisfied with that.
So... For more information about the Santa Fe Raptor Center, you can go to santaferaptorcenter.org. And if people would like more information about the center or about the fundraiser, which is happening this Friday night, where should they call?
They should call Michelle at 920-9223 if they want to get a ticket.
Excellent. 920-9223. Lori Paras, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. And if you want to support us, you can also go on our website. We have 25 babies, so I could put a challenge out there that you can give us $25, as many people as possible. Thank you, thank you.
And so maybe 25 different people
could give $25 today. That would be wonderful because we're getting two more babies in tomorrow.
And oh, my goodness.
They just eat. They eat more than adults. They have to be ready to go by fall.
Yeah.
They have to grow up fast.
Excellent. Lori,
thank you.
Thanks again.
Thank you.